This episode of Metatrex is brought to you by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more information. And if you'd like to help us keep Star Trek discussion coming to you each day, consider becoming a patron of the network through Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm and find out how you can become part of the team. That's patreon.com/trekfm.
This is Tim Russ, Lieutenant Commander Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
There's no greater challenge than the study of philosophy.
My philosophy is that there is room for all philosophies on this station.
Well, welcome everyone to episode 16 of Metatrex, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. My name is Mike Morrison, and with me, as he always is Zachary Frühling. In this episode, we'll be responding to a recent discussion by our good friends Norman Lau and Jeffrey Harlan over on our sister show, Standard Orbit, Trek FM show dedicated to Star Trek, the original series. We're going to be talking about the difference between alternate realities and alternate timelines. So, Zachary, that episode was a recent episode, Standard Orbit 115, entitled Wibbly Wobbly Primey Wimey, a little nod there to Doctor Who. So, have you visited the TARDIS recently?
Well, Mike, I did listen to episode 115 of Standard Orbit. I listened to it at work the other day while I was doing my work. I often listen to Trek FM podcasts while I'm sitting there doing my work. And we'd been planning the episode 16 that we were going to do today. We were planning to have Dennis, our editor and producer, Dennis Costello, who's always with us behind the scenes. I can see him on my screen right now, but you listeners at home don't often get to see him while you're listening to the podcast. We were planning to do an episode on media ecology with Dennis, but as I was listening to Standard Orbit, our friends Jeffrey and Norman over on Standard Orbit called us out. they had a really fascinating discussion on the difference between alternate realities and alternate timelines in the original series, and as it affects the as it's affected by the J.J. Abrams verse, you know, the changes to the original series timeline that we see as a result of the Star Trek 2009 movies. And so we figured, rather than not responding to their challenge to do a Metatrex episode on that topic, we would push back Dennis's episode on media ecology until next week. So if anyone is chomping at the bit waiting to listen to Dennis and us talk about media ecology, we're going to do that next episode, and we're going to dive in and do the difference between alternate realities and alternate timelines today. And I should say, before we dive in, Mike, I should say that this is just a hard topic. And I think it's hard because Star Trek is just all over the place in this regard. Not only are the terms alternate reality and alternate timelines a little wishy-washy, or as Norm and Jeff would say, wibbly-wobbly, primey-wimey, they're a little wishy-washy, right? But Star Trek is really inconsistent in how it deals with alternate timelines and alternate realities. It's a little all over the map. So hopefully we can dive in and make some good sense of it. I should say, for any listeners out there who haven't heard that episode, go listen to Standard Orbit episode 115. And by far, Norm and Jeff can run circles around us in terms of their sort of detailed, granular knowledge of all things Star Trek as it relates to this topic. Every little detail, every nuance, Jeffrey Harlan and Norman Lau are on top of that. You can hear a really fabulous account of the different ways in which alternate realities and alternate timelines come up in Star Trek on that episode. What I'm hoping we can do here tonight, Mike, is basically see what tools we can add from the proverbial philosophical toolbox to help add to the discussion. My goal here isn't to really disagree with anything Norman and Jeff had to say over on Standard Orbit. Definitely don't want to be argumentative or take a different approach. Really, I just want to see if there's anything from our discussion in philosophy that we can add to that discussion, and see if we can help make heads or tails of this together as one big Trek FM family.
Yeah, and I think we can. There was a really great discussion on the Babel conference related to the topic as well. And I hope our listeners will go over and look for that thread under that particular show. Again, it's Standard Orbit episode 115 called Wibbly Wobbly Primey Wimey. I'm going to see how many times we can say that in this episode.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue. Wibbly wobbly primey wimey. It's fun to say though.
It's kind of difficult, really.
It's like the Metatrex drinking game. Every time we say wibbly wobbly primey wimey, take a drink of Romulan ale.
I was just looking here, Zachary, and one of the things I did want to mention is that we've actually had a couple of discussions really that have kind of converged into this subject, if you will. Two episodes really that stand out in my mind. I'm thinking Starship Theseus, Metatrex 4, Metatrex 5, Rocking the Goatee, where we dealt with the problem of identity. Come to mind. Also, episode 13, a recent episode that we just did, Spock's pineal gland, where we talked about the nature of consciousness. I think we kind of touched on this topic. Some of what we'll be talking about today is directly related to those two episodes as well. So I just encourage our listeners, if you've not heard episode 4 and 5 and episode 13 of Metatrex, go back and check those out. They're great discussions, and they definitely deal with this wibbly-wobbly, primey-wimey stuff.
Well, Mike, before we dive in to talk about the difference between alternate reality and alternate timelines, I just want to, again, highlight the Babel Conference. This is the fact that we're doing this episode tonight is partly in response to, like we said, the Standard Orbit episode 115, Wibbly Wobbly Primey Wimey. And it's also in response to a very detailed, long and involved and quite enjoyable thread on the Babel Conference. Seems like pretty much everyone on the network wanted to chime in and talk about the difference between alternate timelines and alternate reality. So, again, if you want to join the discussion, find us on the Babel Conference, either join that thread in response to Standard Orbit episode 115, or when this episode hits the network, probably next Monday. By the time you're listening to this, it should be a Monday. And find this post on the Babel Conference and chime in and join the discussion if you have any thoughts on the difference. I'm sure we'll get something wrong in the discussion tonight, Mike, and partly because of our own lack of understanding about this topic, and partly because, like we said, Star Trek is just all over the map in this topic.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of opinions out there. I am by no means an expert on temporal mechanics. I love good time travel episodes. I really enjoy episodes that explore these topics. But you're right. It was a fantastic discussion. Is a fantastic discussion going on. I think it'll continue to go on to some degree there on the Babel Conference, and hopefully maybe we can spark some additional discussion. Maybe a new thread. Discussing this topic, definitely had a lot of responses. One of the only other topics I've seen spark so much discussion is, the news today that we heard about Brian Fuller being the Star Trek 2017 showrunner. So it was a great discussion for sure.
On that note, real quick, I couldn't be more excited about that. He authored some of my favorite Voyager episodes, and I think all of us fans are afraid that there'll be some missteps with Star Trek 2017. There's this kind of this latent fear, right, that they're not going to get some aspect of Star Trek right. So you really want someone who can oversee the entire franchise, that deep encyclopedic knowledge of all things Star Trek, and more importantly, the tone and the spirit of Star Trek, right? If you mess that up, you've just messed up Star Trek, regardless of what new stories and what new, regardless of what universe they set it in, which timelines or alternate realities, right? However they decide to develop the new Star Trek, the spirit of Star Trek is the most important thing. So hopefully Brian Fuller will be the, I can't imagine anyone better, frankly, from right now, short of us, if they decided to hand over the franchise to you and me, I feel like we could do a good job, but if they're not going to hire you and me to do it, then Brian Fuller is choice number three.
Well, I just want to say to Brian Fuller, if you're listening, hashtag Mike and Zach Right Track.
Yeah, we are philosophers for hire. And, and of course, the people who listen to this show, I think, will probably agree that one of the things we love about Star Trek is its philosophical content. Mm-hmm. So one of my deepest hopes for the new series is that there'll be some philosophical content, that we've always seen in Star Trek. It would be very easy to turn Star Trek into a purely an action show. And that deviates from the soul of Star Trek in my mind. So, we're philosophers for hire. So if anyone needs a philosopher or two as consultants, we're available.
Yeah, frankly, I'd like to be sitting here 1 year from now having a conversation, recording a podcast, talking about the philosophy that is in Star Trek 2017. So
yeah, we're putting it on the calendar now. You know, we plan these episodes pretty far in advance. I'm putting an episode of Metatrex on the calendar for, oh, like mid-January, maybe the end of January. We don't know when it's going to launch yet, right? But, you know, sometime in January, we're going to be talking about the philosophy of Star Trek 2017, whatever it's called.
Looking forward to it. But right now, we're going to talk about alternate reality and alternate timelines. These are two terms, Zachary, that really, they're conflated terms, they're ambiguous terms, really to say the least. So let's dive in and let's talk about alternate realities and alternate timelines.
Well, I've got some notes here that I made this morning, Mike, but what are your initial thoughts on the difference between an alternate reality and an alternate timeline? We don't need to mince words on this topic. What is the difference between an alternate reality and an alternate timeline? Any initial thoughts?
Again, they are different terms, and they do point to different things, and I think oftentimes we conflate them. When we're talking about alternate realities, we're talking about a completely different set of circumstances, a completely different play out of events. I'm thinking of, for instance, what we would call the Mirror Universe episodes. Those are alternate reality. We're talking about alternate timeline. Alternate timelines happen, Zachary, when something happens to change the timeline. And oftentimes we're talking about time travel episodes. We're talking about episodes in which somebody's gone back in time and had an effect on the timeline itself. Something they've done has changed the outcome of the timeline at some place in time.
Like I said this morning, I sat down to make some notes for the podcast tonight, and it occurred to me that part of the difficulty is that each of these terms, alternate reality and alternate timeline, is used in at least two different senses. So I think we should probably start with just a little bit of philosophical analysis, making some distinctions, different types of alternate reality, different types of alternate timelines, and then we can look at the Star Trek universe and specifically at the because this episode of Metatrex is in response to Standard Orbit. I think we should try to focus the discussion a little bit on the changes to the original series timeline as a result of the J.J. Abrams verse movies in Star Trek 2009. So sure. Let's start with some distinctions, though. In terms of alternate reality, I think you're right that the term alternate reality in some broad sense seems to imply a completely different type of reality, a different level, it's in a different place. It's not in our universe. It's in a different universe somewhere. Right. So that's a little vague, but what does that mean? And it occurs to me that one thing that's an immediate difference in my mind between an alternate reality and an alternate timeline is the issue of whether the objects in question have the same origin point or a different origin point. Like, for example, we've got the James T. Kirk that we see in Star Trek, the original series.
I'm Captain Kirk!
And then we've got the Captain Kirk that we see in the Star Trek 2009, the J.J. Abramsverse movies. And, one way you can look at this is to ask the question, well, do those characters have the same origin point or not, right? Is there some, if you take both of their respective timelines and trace it back, can you find a common origin? And if you can, it strikes me that that falls more in the category of an alternate timeline than an alternate reality. I think one sense of alternate reality to me is having a completely different origin point. Like you mentioned the Mirror Universe, and I think this is the example that comes immediately to my mind, right? The Captain Kirk that you see in the traditional timeline from Star Trek, the original series, versus the Mirror Universe Captain Kirk that you see in Mirror Mirror, right? That those two captains don't have the same origin, right? They each have their own respective timelines all the way back to whenever. And then I guess you can postulate, did those two timelines, were they unified? Did they diverge at a certain point? That's an interesting question. But if those characters don't have a common origin point, if those timelines are totally independent, in other words, then that's a really obvious sense of an alternate reality versus an alternate timeline. What do you think? Am I on the right track there so far, Mike?
Yeah, I think you're definitely on the right track, and I'm going to point back to Standard Orbit 115, and I'm sure Norm and Jeff won't mind us doing that. They actually had a great discussion about Captain Kirk and his origins, between what we would refer to as the prime timeline and the JJ verse. And I think it's pretty universal that I think we all agree that, you know, we're dealing with two different origin points, same character, two different origin points. And I think going along the lines of what you're saying, I think in the end, we have to come to the conclusion that what we really have at the end of the day are two distinctly different James T. Kirks.
I'm Captain Kirk!
Yeah, and I don't want to get into too much detail about Captain Kirk just yet, because I want to finish fleshing out the term alternate reality. So one sense to me is that if two different objects have different origin points, you know, if it's Captain Kirk with two different origin points, two different timelines, then it strikes me as an alternate reality. But another sense of alternate reality is the idea that there can be multiple universes or multiple worlds, for lack of a better term, multiple I say universes is probably the best term, multiple universes that are causally isolated from each other, right? Where the events in one universe just have no causal impact, and maybe in principle, no causal impact on the events of another universe. I'm thinking here of things like different dimensions, the mirror universe, if the mirror universe isn't a branching off of the prime timeline in some way, then you know, that would be a causally isolated universe, right? You can, all the events in this universe don't have any really immediate effect on the events in another universe, barring things like transporter malfunctions or, you know, time travel or any of these weird sort of ad hoc you know, plot devices to drive those kinds of stories forward. If those kinds of events don't happen, then it seems like, you know, the universe that you get in the prime timeline is one sort of causally isolated universe. The mirror universe might be one causally isolated universe. And I'm thinking now of things like the sort of possible worlds theory that every possible situation or every possible choice has it manifests itself in a different universe. But I think that's the key right there. It's a different universe, right? It's not our universe. It's not a branching off of our universe. It's not a an alternate timeline in the sense of things changing in our universe. We're talking about a substantively different universe that's isolated from our universe in some way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what does that mean for JJ Trek? I don't know just yet. Let's talk about alternate timelines here in a minute and see if we can flesh out the difference. But really quickly, you know, if we're gonna talk about, you know, versus the prime timeline, it seems like the two Captain Kirks have different origin points, and, you know, the two realms are causally isolated from each other in some way, right? You know, if the prime timeline, you know, didn't just disappear, if it still exists in some way, then, you know, whatever events happen there don't have an immediate effect on the events in the new timeline. So in that sense, they're causally isolated. So plausibly, you can say that they're an alternate reality, But part of the discussion just seems to hinge on whether the two universes have a common origin point. Are they branches of each other, or are they you know, completely separate, self-contained universes, not just a deviation of our own universe?
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about that, when we talk about alternate realities, we're talking about, again, you said different origin points, and I think you're exactly right.
Different Big Bang. I mean, it's something as fundamental as different Big Bangs, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I think the interesting thing to point out here is I've got to say, and while I love the mirror universe stories, in which I think we're talking about alternate realities, I think the interesting thing about those stories, in truth, probably those characters don't exist in alternate realities. You think about this. Say, for instance, and let's take James T. Kirk. I mean, how is it possible that James T. Kirk can exist in all of these different realities? Because in some of these realities, perhaps he was never born. Maybe he was killed. Maybe his parents were never born. So when we talk about alternate realities, we're talking about different origin points. We're talking about completely different outcomes.
Well, there's a separate but somewhat related issue in the philosophy of language. You know, if in different timelines, Captain Kirk has different properties, right? And of course, there's going to be some timelines or some alternate realities where Captain Kirk doesn't exist anymore, right? That's clear, right?
Right.
But if you take all the universes in which Captain Kirk exists, some version of Captain Kirk, the descriptions are going to be different. Like in this possible universe, Captain Kirk wears a green tunic, right? And maybe there's another possible universe out there where the Starfleet has different colors for its uniforms, right? So, you know, maybe in another alternate universe, Captain Kirk wears a blue tunic instead of a green tunic. You know, And you can sort of write out these descriptions of Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk is the guy who wears a green shirt and sits in the center chair and breaks all the rules and, you know, all the things that Captain Kirk does, right? And some of those are going to vary from universe to universe. And so this is really related to the problem of identity, right? If these different beings in these different universes have different properties, in what sense are they identical? In what sense are they all Captain Kirk? And I think that that's an interesting question in the philosophy of language, how language refers to the same individual or picks out the same individual in different multiple universes or different possible worlds. You know, one answer to that is the question of origin point, right? If the two James T. Kirks that we see in the prime timeline versus the J.J. Abrams verse have a common origin point, you could point to the origin and say, well, you know, all of the, the reference of the name Captain Kirk to the individual, you know, is tied to this sort of origin. You know, we talked about this in a couple episodes ago about this sort of baptism of naming, right? That there's, you know, the name is bestowed on someone and then that name kind of persists over the course of that individual's lifetime. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, those descriptions are going to vary. So if you say, you know, oh, Captain Kirk, the guy with the green tunic, that's not going to refer to the same individual in a different possible world. So it is this deep question how, you know, we sort of hand-wavingly say that it's the same individual. There's Captain Kirk in all of these different timelines or all these different realities. But I think that just sort of oversimplifies the issue. It's not obvious at all that is the same individual in any meaningful sense, right? Especially if it's an alternate reality. If the two beings have different origin points, there's a lot of similarities, there's a lot of differences. You know, how similar do they have to be in order to still be the same individual? I don't think there's an obvious question to that. And I think one thing that is obvious is that they don't meet the criteria of strict numerical identity, right? So the two Captain Kirks wearing different color tunics aren't the same numerically identical individual. So in what sense are they identical? This is a little bit of a tangent from the topic of the difference between alternate reality and alternate timeline, but it is wrapped up with this issue in philosophy of language and reference, this counterfactual reference. Like, you can imagine a possible world in which, you know, which the Enterprise was never built, right? So you still want to be able to say things about the Enterprise in that counterfactual sense. You know, what about this world where the Enterprise is radically different? In fact, you see that in the J.J. Abrams verse, right? The Enterprise is radically different. And Norman Lau over on Standard Orbit talked about this a little bit. You know, it's built in a different year, and of course it looks different on screen, and it's still the Enterprise in some sense, right? How can that be if it looks different and it's built in a different year? It just happens to have the name Enterprise, but it has nothing else in common. In what sense is that the same ship? So again, just wanted to highlight the fact that this is really, really related to philosophy of language and how terms refer to individuals in some sort of counterfactual sense.
Yeah. And kind of back to my original point, I think about All Good Things. You know, that particular episode starts out, you know, we're looking at three distinct timelines. But by the time we get through the episode, we have kind of exploded the barrier between space and time. And we have, you know, literally thousands of possibilities. And it's interesting to me, Zachary, that, you know, other than the fact that, you know, and one of them, Captain Picard is clearly gone dead. One of them we have, you know, Riker is all helter-skelter looking. but, you know, does the Enterprise...
Lumberjack Riker.
What's that? Yeah.
Lumberjack Riker.
But my point being, you know, in an alternate reality, does the Enterprise exist in an alternate reality? And thousands of realities, although we changed the makeup, we changed the hair. I realize as I'm saying this that it doesn't make for very good storytelling if in all of these other realities the Enterprise doesn't exist nor the crew. But I find it interesting, at least to me, that Riker seems to be on board every one of these Enterprises, and
but not Captain Picard, because Captain Picard had been killed by the Borg in one of those realities, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, these timelines or realities, whatever they are going to diverge at some point. And Jeff and Norm talk about that a bit on Standard Orbit as well. But I love that episode from Star Trek: The Next Generation, because I think that makes my point about alternate realities, that some really deep, important sense of the term alternate reality is that these realities are separate from each other. These aren't just branches of the same timelines. These aren't the very same individual. Like the Riker that you see in that episode, the many Rikers that you see in that episode are not the same as the very very as the Will Riker standing on the canonical Enterprise D, right? They're not the same individual. They have different histories, different events. And all of those realities are unfolding kind of simultaneously, right? And I never, when I watched that episode, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but when I watched that episode, I don't get the sense at all that those different Enterprises are divergences from the same timeline. I get the sense that those are, you know, completely different dimensions, different realities, and the barriers between them have somehow broken down. But I feel like in each one of those universes, there's a different origin story for, you know, a different timeline for every one of those Enterprises, and they don't link up together in any way.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, for instance, you've got all of these Enterprises popping up everywhere, and although they all kind of look alike, they can't be the same Enterprise. They just look alike. They're not the same Enterprise. They just look alike. So you're dealing with different reality, alternate reality, as opposed to alternate timeline.
Yeah, and those universes are causally isolated. So I think that's the second sense of alternate reality, is just that the events in one universe don't really affect the events in the other. Each universe is its own self-contained bubble, you know, barring something like a multiverse theory in science, where all these universes are, you know, even though each bubble is its own isolated bubble, might be part of some larger multiverse in some sense, right? That's, you know, sort of purely speculative theoretical physics there. But, you know, and I guess one difficulty here is that just the definition of universe, right? If you take universe to mean, you know, the causally isolated bubble, right? You know, a big bubble containing all the galaxies and all the, you know, the sort of sum of what we normally think of as the universe. That's one sense of universe, the ordinary sense of universe. But then there's universe, sort of universe with a superscript, right? You know, universe writ large, the universe that contains all of the little universes, all, mm-hmm. you know, the multiverse theory of the universe. So in that sense, you can, you know, this is where I think the language gets really tricky, right? Because if there's something like a multiverse where, you know, each universe is its own self-contained bubble, if you take all of reality into account, then all of reality would include all of the different little universes, right? Each self-contained bubble. So in that sense, everything is part of the same reality in that sense. So I think we just have to be really clear that when we mean alternate reality, when we say reality here, we mean reality in the sense of each self-contained universe bubble.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Otherwise, there's only one reality, all the bubbles.
Yeah,
right?
all the bubbles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I think about also, when I think about alternate realities, along the same lines, I think about the episode Yesterday's Enterprise, where, you know, we have a shift in reality from, we'll call it the prime reality, to this alternate reality. And, you know, not to get into a whole synopsis of the episode, but I think most of our listeners realize that there was a, you know, that there was a spatial anomaly that causes a shift in the space-time continuum. And now we have we have the Enterprise, we have Captain Picard, and we have Tasha Yar, who was killed in season one. And it's funny, we distinguish that with a little darker lighting, a little difference in the uniform, a little darker tone, but we have a completely different reality now, because the origin, well, not the original origin point, but at some point, and we come to discover that it was a generation ago, all over the Enterprise C and their ability to defend or help defend the Klingons, we have this different shift. And some would say, okay, we're talking about an alternate timeline. But I would submit that we're actually talking about an alternate reality, because that change completely erased reality as we know it in the prime universe. I don't know, Zachary, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think you're right that the episode Yesterday's Enterprise is a good segue to talk about alternate timelines. And I think you're right. Most people, when they think about Yesterday's Enterprise, think about alternate timelines. And I think I probably fall in that camp. And you want to make the case that that's a case of alternate universes or alternate realities. But let's talk just for a second about alternate timelines. So there's sort of two different theories, I think, about alternate timelines. One is sort of the traditional Back to the Future style, time travel paradox version of alternate timelines. The idea that timelines don't branch, they just change, right? If you go back in time and you change something, it's not that the original timeline is still there. It's just that you've created a new timeline and the old timeline is gone. It's erased. It doesn't exist anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of the traditional view of alternate timelines. And that's what yields these traditional classical time travel paradoxes, right? The grandfather paradox. If you go back in time and you shoot your grandfather, then how did you exist to go back in time to shoot your grandfather? Those kinds of paradoxes, right? And that's kind of what we see, I think, in yesterday's Enterprise. You know, you get a change in the timeline, but that change destroys the other timeline. The other timeline literally doesn't exist anymore. So in my mind, yesterday's Enterprise sounds a lot like very classical time travel paradoxes.
I think it is at the end of the episode. Because the whole premise of the episode is Enterprise C has to go back. They have to be there in order to take on the Romulans and prevent the Klingons, from getting defeated, which leads to, many, many years of war with Klingons. But that was the origin point. That was the place where, the Enterprise C was there. They got into battle. Yeah, they were destroyed. Yeah, that crew was lost. But daggone it, the Klingons respect us now. And so we have 100 years of peace with the Klingons or whatever. And so, and I love Rachel Garrett, Captain Rachel Garrett, one of my favorite unsung hero captains. I think she's the proto Janeway. She says, the Romulans are going to get a good fight. We'll make it one for the history books. what a great line in this episode. But Zachary, for me, when they're not there, another reality. I know we're talking about branching off and that being a timeline, but we actually started a whole other reality now. We're talking about going back and branching the time.
Well, okay, here we have to clarify, right? Is it a different reality in the sense of a different universe?
Yeah, we're not talking about universe. I'll give you that one.
Right. So are we talking about alternate reality in that sense? So clearly things have changed, right? I mean, the Enterprise is different. The crew members are wearing gold belts. And that's appears to be how you're in an alternate universe in the Star Trek universe. If you wear a gold belt, you're from an alternate reality, right?
Yeah.
But so everyone's wearing gold belts. But what happened when the Enterprise C came through that rift, right? Certainly events on the Enterprise D had changed, all the changes we saw. But was a different reality created, or is it the very same sort of causally isolated universe that's been changed?
Yeah, I'll definitely give you that. But for me, what makes this such an interesting episode, and I think a good segue between the two, is I think there's a good argument for both. And certainly at the end of the episode, when, Tasha goes back and she's there to sort of help the Enterprise C in that battle. Of course, later on, we find out she was taken captive. She has a child. And now we have a whole different branch on this timeline in the Prime Universe as a result of time travel. So it's funny because the genius in writing this is I think you almost have a hybrid between something that could be an alternate reality and something that could be an alternate timeline.
Well, I think I want to press you just a little bit more because I think I don't agree. It seems to me that when the change in the timeline occurs in yesterday's Enterprise, I don't get the sense that a separate branch was created. I got the sense that the original timeline no longer existed.
Okay.
And I think that's a substantive difference, right? So I'm contrasting that approach with the approach that we see in the Abramsverse, right? The Star Trek 2009 movies, they really make a very kind of explicit... They explicitly claim that the original timeline still exists, right? The Captain Kirk that we saw in the original series still exists. All the events in that universe unfold. Then, the changes to the timeline occur and a separate branch is created. But it's not like the original was destroyed. That branch still exists. It's just deviated. So now we've got two branches, in some sense in the same universe, but it's not like either one of those branches was destroyed. It's just that as each branch is created, you just get this ever growing branching of the timeline, but all the original branches still exist. And that's not what I see going on in yesterday's Enterprise. And that strikes me as a really different approach to telling a time travel story than what you see in the Abrams verse.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. Yeah. And I get where you're coming from and I don't disagree with you, at all, but you know, this is where the frontier pushes back, and just saying, I don't think that the timeline got restored. I think it changed by virtue of sending Tasha Yar back.
Well, and of course, even when the timeline is quote unquote with air quotes, I'm doing air quotes when the timeline is quote unquote restored, there are some changes right now. We get Tasha Yar's daughter Sela is in the universe, and presumably that wouldn't have been the case had that change of the timeline not occurred. So it's not even that the original timeline had been restored. But I think my point still remains that we're talking about one and the same timeline. It's just, you know, the timeline might skew or go in a different direction, but at any given point, there's one and only one timeline, right? There's no branching that seems to be going on inside yesterday's Enterprise. And that's very, very different than the Abrams first approach to time travel.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I still think this is a great hybrid though.
Well, I think you mentioned that it's a hybrid, and I think you're right. One thing that confuses me when I think about this, and I was thinking about this as I was making my notes this morning. So we mentioned the non-branching approach to time travel and alternate timelines. Mm-hmm. The J.J. Abrams verse uses a branching approach to alternate timelines, right? Every event that occurs, mm-hmm. there's a branch, right? You could, I could go right or I could go left. I could set the ship on course to Ryza, or I could go to the Klingon Empire. Every one of those, there's a deviation of the timeline, right? And things could have gone another direction. And presumably, there's an alternate universe in which that event did go a different direction. This is kind of the possible world's theory of reality, that each possible event or possible state of affairs exists in some other possible universe, some metaphysically different possible universe that's not the actual universe, but still exists in some sense nonetheless. And definitely when there's a change to the timeline as a result of time travel, right? You know, when the Narada goes back in time and the timeline starts to diverge, there's a new branch of the timeline that's created. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's really confusing to me, I think, is just the sense that even in the same universe now, when we're not talking about alternate realities in the sense of a totally different self-contained universe, we're talking about branches in the very same universe. But what's confusing to me is whether those branches sort of exist in the same universe or not, right? I don't even know how to ask the question really necessarily. It strikes me that branching is different than a completely self-contained multiverse theory of reality, right? These aren't totally separate realities with no intersection. These are branches of the same origin point. But they all exist, and yet they're still causally isolated from each other, right? The two timelines have diverged. The events in one don't affect the events in another unless there's some weird time travel event. Mm-hmm. And yet it's not that they're different realities. They're not different universes. They're not different metaphysically isolated bubbles, right? These are branches of the very same timeline, and yet they're still causally isolated from each other. So this is where you mentioned maybe kind of a hybrid approach, and this is kind of the hybrid approach that I see, that whenever there's a branch, the two branches are causally isolated from each other.
Right.
And in that sense, they're different realities, right? My reality is different from the causally isolated branch of a different causally isolated branch. There's no, the events in one don't affect the other, but we're still talking about branches of the same tree. And yet, they're not, it's not as sort of metaphysically robust as to be completely self-contained, isolated, multiverse bubbles, right? That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about branching. And yet they still don't have the causal connection between the two universes. So it's kind of a hybrid approach where, you know, the branching kind of gives you the best of both worlds. You get the causal isolation. That sounds like alternate realities to me, right? You know, the events in the prime timeline don't seem to affect the events in the Abramsverse, absent the time travel event. But it's not that they are self-contained, metaphysically different multiverse bubbles, right? They're still branches of the same origin point. And so this might be a way to have your cake and eat it too, right? You can say, yes, the Abramsverse is an alternate timeline because it's a branch off the traditional timeline. And yet it's an alternate reality because those two branches are still causally isolated from each other. And yet it's not so robust of a sense of alternate reality as to have a totally different Big Bang or a totally different self-contained, universe bubble.
Yeah, and you touched on a couple of things there. It kind of danced around that I think we need to kind of throw.
That's all I can do. I think all I'm doing is dancing around this. Well, this is not a well fleshed out theory here.
I think we need to throw a couple of things in there. You know, when we're talking about this, we're talking about branching, non-branching, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, are we talking about predestination paradox? Are we talking about determinism versus, you know, the debate of determinism versus free will, and how that has an effect on the timeline?
You know, I'm not really sure, because I think there are, in philosophy, there are, of course, different theories of time, right? In a previous episode of Metatrex, we had talked about four-dimensionalism, mm-hmm. the idea that, you know, time is, and this is, should be familiar to Star Trek fans, the idea that time is another dimension. But the idea that's unique here is that, you know, the different events in time are sort of spread out like a big membrane, right? And if that's the case, you know, if all the past and future events are already kind of predetermined, kind of all laid out, you know, slice after slice after slice in time, right? If there's branching, then it just means you have a very complex, membrane that branches. You know, so, you know, one version of this alternate timeline, this branching approach, is that whenever you make a decision, whenever one event happens, if it could have gone another direction, a new branch is created. But if on four-dimensionalism, you know, the past and the future are already determined and laid out and fixed in some sense, right? You still have to kind of account for why there's motion along the membrane, right? Sure seems like now is moving along the timeline, right? And four-dimensionalism seems to say that's just an illusion. Each moment in time is just a different, you know, a different slice on the membrane, and the membrane as a whole remains the same.
Right.
The past in one direction, the future in the other, and the whole timeline is spread out in some fixed deterministic pattern. And if that branches in any way, that just means that each branch is itself already kind of fixed and determined, and there's no real choice involved. There's no change. You know, the whole, I wish I had a way to draw this, but I'm picturing, like, you know, if I'm picturing a good example might be like a box of crackers. You know, they come wrapped in those plastic wax, the sort of wax paper foil, like a Ritz crackers,
yeah,
or something like that. Each cracker,
oh, yeah,
represents a different moment in time, right? If you go to the left, you get, you know, moments in the past, and the crackers on the right side are, you know, moments in the future. So I'm picturing kind of like a branching four-dimensional membrane like that. That it's not just one row of crackers, but, you know, kind of like dominoes that diverge in different directions. You know those videos of people knocking over dominoes and the dominoes branch in different ways?
Yeah.
That's my vision of like what a four-dimensional branching timeline might look like. But what's weird there is that if you take four-dimensionalism and apply it to the branching theory, I think you just get a weird situation where each branch is already fixed and determined, and there's no real choice. So again, I don't know that you know, this is an obviously related issue, the issue of determinism and free will. But if you posit one of these weird alternate theories of time, like four-dimensionalism, then it sure seems like, you know, it may not be the free will that's causing the branching. I guess that's my point, right?
Okay.
You might think that, you know, on the traditional branching theory, that whenever you make a choice, a free choice, right? I decided to go this way, or I decided to go that way, that's when a branch occurs. But if each branch is already kind of laid out and fixed, past and future, and it looks something like a big web of dominoes, then it wouldn't be the choice that's causing the branching. In fact, nothing causes the branching. The branching just exists, and it's fixed, and the past is fixed, and the future, the different branches are all laid out and fixed, and there's no actual movement along those timelines. I think that's one of the weird ways in which you can relate different theories of time and this question of alternate timelines. But is that related to the issue of free will and determinism? I don't really know.
And then Q shows up and breaks the branch.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Q's sitting outside all of this, right? You know? If he's outside space and time, is he outside all of the time? That's a great question. Is he outside? Q, you think of the Q continuum as being outside space and time, right? What does that mean? Are they outside just one branch of time? Are they outside all of the branches? Are they outside one level of reality, just our self-contained universe bubble? Or does the Q continuum exist outside all of the different alternate realities?
I think that's a great future show topic, honestly, an exploration of the Q continuum in Star Trek. I think we ought to put that on the calendar. But with this entire discussion, we're talking about alternate realities with different origin points. I'm sure Q exists in all of those, or maybe he doesn't. And maybe in the JJ verse, Q doesn't exist. I don't know.
Well, or does Q? I think one thing you could say is Q doesn't exist in any of them, right? he exists outside all of them.
Outside all of them. Exactly. And
well, Mike,
certainly, when you talk about alternate timelines, different branches. Again, I'm kind of joking about it, but, you know, just when you think the branch has gone in one direction, Q's kind of the wild card. Oh, Jean-Luc, I broke your branch. Pity, pity. You know, I
don't know. Q can prune your branch off the tree.
maybe that's what we need to do in Star Trek 2017 is prune some branches. It's getting a little wibbly wobbly primey wimey.
Yeah, this is getting too complicated. Time to start pruning branches off the tree here. Right. Speaking of pruning branches, let's get back to the show topic here. One question that I had written down for our show today was, I kind of put it to myself this way: does the presence or lack of a common origin point settle the issue? Right? If you can say, okay, Captain Kirk in the traditional timeline, the prime timeline versus Kirk in the Abramsverse timeline, does the fact that they share or lack a common origin point just settle the issue? And I pretty well convinced myself that it doesn't settle the issue, because even if you can point to a common origin point, like the branching theory, the different branches have a common origin point. It sure seems like the different branches are still causally isolated from each other. And in that sense, you can give some substantive sense of saying that those different branches are alternate realities because they're isolated from each other. I just think that the difficulty here is that the terms have different meanings, right? The term alternate reality means two different things. There are these self-contained universe bubbles, and there's also the sense of causally isolated branches of the same tree, right? That
right.
Both of those seem like substantive senses of alternate reality to me. And one of them overlaps with alternate timelines insofar as one version of alternate timelines is the branching theory. So the way I'm kind of thinking this is that the branching theory of alternate timelines is the very same thing as one sense of alternate reality, this idea that different branches of the same tree are causally isolated from each other and don't really affect each other, again, in parentheses, in the absence of some ad hoc, artificial time travel event or something along those lines. So it's not that, you can point to Captain Kirk and say, do the two Captain Kirk share an origin point? But that doesn't settle the issue, because on the one hand, they are alternate timelines. That much is clear, I think. And on the other hand, they do seem to be alternate realities in one sense of alternate reality, right? They're not self-contained universe bubbles, but the two different branches of the tree don't interact with each other. So in that sense, it's an alternate reality. So I think in this case, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. And I think that was the interesting discovery of really kind of fleshing out the different senses of alternate reality and alternate timelines, is that one, for each one of them, there's two different senses, and those two senses overlap or mean the same thing in one case. And so if I look at the Abramsverse now, having talked it out, it seems like they're both an alternate timeline and an alternate reality at the same time. Not every sense of alternate timeline, not every sense of alternate reality, but there's at least one sense in which they overlap, and you can say you can have your cake and eat it too, and the Abramsverse is both at the same time.
Yeah, and I don't want to throw too big of a curve in this, as we kind of are approaching the end of the podcast today. But, there's a theory out there that in the Manny Coto season 4 of Enterprise, we get the origin story, if you will, of the alternate universe, the mirror universe. Two episodes, Enterprise season 4, episodes 18 and 19, In a Mirror Darkly. Parts 1 and 2. And it all kind of starts with the first contact landing that we saw in the movie of the same title, First Contact, in which the Vulcans track Zefram Cochrane's Phoenix flight, and they land there in Montana. And rather than, greet them warmly, get them drunk, and play old-time rock and roll music on the jukebox, Zefram pulls out a sawed-off shotgun and shoots Spock's great-grandfather. and Spock, I guess, isn't born in the mirror universe, but that's a whole other debate. But if this is the origin of the mirror universe, then we don't have a mirror universe. We have a branching timeline. So I kind of reject that idea.
Well, I think you can analyze that entire situation you described using the way we've kind of categorized the different senses of alternate reality and different senses of alternate timelines. The traditional sense of the mirror universe, I think, is that it's a completely different self-contained mm-hmm. universe, self-contained reality, and that somehow the barrier between the two has been broken down and it's able to cross from one to the other. But the idea originally, I think, was that the mirror universe was a self-contained universe bubble that's different from our self-contained
yes.
universe bubble. Now, if in that sense, they are causally isolated, right? So you can't interact with each other. If the two universes are different and self-contained, they don't interact with each other. So in that sense, the traditional sense of the mirror universe seems to meet both different senses of alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
But if you re-envision the Mirror Universe to be just a deviation of our own universe, if there was if you can go back in point back in time to a point and say this is the point at which the Mirror Universe diverged from our universe, then that makes the Mirror Universe look more like what's going on in the Abramsverse, right? That it's a branch off of our own timeline versus a completely different self-contained multiverse bubble. So in that sense, now let's think about it being an alternate timeline. It's not a traditional time travel paradox sense of changing the timeline, right? That we're talking about branching. We're not talking about going back in time and destroying the original timeline. That's not what's going on, because clearly the Prime Universe exists, and now the Mirror Universe branch, if that's what you think of the Mirror Universe as, exists, and those exist at the same time. So we're not talking traditional time travel where you go back in time and change something and the original timeline is destroyed or skewed in some way. We're talking about a fairly robust sense of a branching timeline where there's a change to the timeline that causes the two branches to split apart, and then they become isolated from one another, causally isolated from one another. So in that sense, if the Mirror Universe is just a branch off our own universe, clearly it's an alternate timeline in the branching sense, not in the traditional sense of an alternate timeline. And it's also causally isolated. So it just kind of meets both criteria. This is what's going on in the Abramsverse too, I think, that it's an alternate timeline in the branching sense, and it's an alternate reality in the sense that each branch is isolated from each other. But what seems clear to me now that we've talked it out is that even if that's the case about the Mirror Universe, if the Mirror Universe is a branch, we're not talking about an alternate reality in the sense of a completely different self-contained universe bubble anymore, right? So it sort of meets one criterion for alternate reality, but not in the other sense. And I think that's an important distinction. This is what I see being conflated in the discussion, that the term alternate reality just means both of these things, and we just loosey-goosey conflate the terms.
Wibbly-wobbly
time. Wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey conflate the two terms. Right. There's alternate reality in the sense of a self-contained universe. And if the Mirror Universe is a branch and not a self-contained universe, it's not that sense of alternate reality. But there's this other sense of alternate reality in the branching sense, where the different branches don't affect each other, and they're still what I've kind of called causally isolated, that the events in one unfold and they don't affect the events in the other, barring some ad hoc intervention or motion between the two, in the sense of like a time travel event or a transporter event or something along those lines. So in that sense, I think, again, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. You can be an alternate timeline and be an alternate reality in one sense of alternate reality, just not in the sense of a totally different self-contained universe with a different origin.
I like the word picture of the different bubbles. I think that gives a distinction. And you can really discern the difference between an alternate reality and an alternate timeline.
I think it's an important distinction, because I think that's how theoretical physicists think of alternate reality, right? They think of universe, you know, our universe is possibly, again, according to, you know, some speculative theoretical physics, being part of a much larger multiverse, where each universe is its own self-contained isolated bubble. And that's different from a branching theory, where each bubble is a divergence off of some previous timeline, right? That's not what's going on in that account of a multiverse. So I think it's an important substantive distinction that is backed at least by some speculative theoretical physics. And happily, making that distinction gives us a new way to talk about these examples. So whenever a case of an alternate reality comes up in Star Trek, we can now ask a series of questions. Okay, is it an alternate reality? Yes. Okay, what type of alternate reality? Is it a different self-contained universe like you see in Parallels in Star Trek The Next Generation, where each Enterprise is from a totally separate universe, where the barrier
bubbles
between
these
collide. The bubbles are colliding, right, for some reason. But each of those Enterprises is from a separate bubble. And of course, there'll be some bubbles that don't have an Enterprise in it, and some bubbles don't have a Picard and whatnot. Or is it a case of the different realities, you know, having some common origin point, and they've diverged along a different timeline? And then when you ask about timelines, so whenever you see an alternate timeline now, like you see in the Abramsverse, or maybe like you see in the Mirror Universe, like you see in yesterday's Enterprise, the examples that we've looked at today, you can ask, what type of alternate timeline are we talking about? Are we talking about a change to our timeline that destroys the original timeline? And I think that's more like what's going on in yesterday's Enterprise. Mm-hmm. Or are we talking about some sort of branching alternate timeline where each branch exists, you know, the change of the timeline occurs, a new branch is created, but the old branch still exists and isn't destroyed in the process. And that's what we've kind of called the modern, or maybe the quantum, approach to alternate timelines. And I could see what they were doing in the Abramsverse. You know, they wanted to, you know, create a new sphere that they could play in and create new types of stories and still leave the original timeline intact. So, you know, the writer said, oh, well, it's this branching version of...
That's a very optimistic way of looking at it, Zachary.
Yeah, it's kind of hand-wavy. It's this branching, modern approach to alternate timelines and time travel. It's not what you see in Back to the Future. That's old school time travel. You know, this is new time travel, future time travel.
Some fans would say that they were actually being lazy and didn't want to be slaves to the canon.
Well, I think the thing
but
that
I
bugs
like the,
me...
I like the optimistic way you look at it.
The thing that bugs me about it, though, is part of the dialogue that happens inside the movie itself.
Yeah.
Right? The thing that really bugs me, you know, it seems clear that we're talking about an alternate timeline, even if you posit that it's in the branching sense and it's some sort of, you know, quantum future, more modern version of time travel. We're not talking Back to the Future style time travel. We're not talking time travel paradoxes in that sense. But what bugs me is when Lieutenant Uhura says, you mean an alternate reality, you know, and that and that is what conflates, you know, introduces this yes. discussion. Right. You know, yes. OK, it's a branching alternate timeline. I understand that. But when Uhura says it's an alternate reality, it's like, well, what does that mean? It's not an alternate reality like the mirror universe is an alternate reality. It's not an alternate reality like parallels like you see in Star Trek The Next Generation is an alternate reality. So in what sense is an alternate reality as opposed to just being a different branch of the same timeline?
Right.
And I think now we've kind of fleshed it out, right? One sense of alternate reality is that these branches, if they're isolated from one another, that's some meaningful sense of alternate reality that's different from those other senses of alternate reality. And again, is that might be my ultra charitable interpretation of what was going on in the writers' minds. I actually think it was probably just a little bit of lazy writing that they meant, you know, it's an alternate timeline. They said, oh, it's an alternate reality. And no one, you know, thought to do a little proofreading on the script or thought it through very carefully. But I think... I'm satisfied now that these don't contradict each other. I think one concern is that you really have to choose between an alternate reality versus an alternate timeline. And now we've shown there's at least some way you can reconcile the two and say, well, it's both. You can be an alternate timeline in one sense, and that's the same thing as alternate reality in one sense. And so they can both be true and there's no contradiction, and the sort of internal paradox of this story goes away, and we can all be happy Star Trek fans.
But at the same time, you can reconcile the two, and, you know, at least in the sense of differentiating them.
Yeah, no, of course, I still think Star Trek is all over the map in this, right? There are some stories that have alternate reality in the different universe bubble sense. There's some stories that have alternate reality in this causally isolated branches sense. You can find examples of going back in time and changing the timeline that destroys the original timeline. That's what you see in yesterday's Enterprise. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can find branching examples of time travel. So I just think Star Trek contradicts itself in terms of how these things work. I don't see why in yesterday's Enterprise you would get... a non-branching version of time travel versus in the Abramsverse, you get a branching view of time travel. How can they both happen inside the same franchise, right? Those seem to contradict each other, right? How does time travel in general work? So I'm not satisfied that you can sort of reconcile the branching and the non-branching approach to time travel in terms of the types of stories we see in Star Trek in general. I think those kind of contradict each other a bit. But I've satisfied myself that a branching alternate timeline does not necessarily contradict an alternate reality, at least in that one sense.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. And, you know, when we talk a bit again about bubbles and, you know, worlds colliding, bubbles colliding. I've got this word picture, or this picture of George Costanza running around the Enterprise going, worlds are colliding, Jerry.
Each universe is just a bubble in Deanna Troi's bathtub.
It's just a bubble in her bathtub. Well, Zachary, we are coming up on an hour. Any final thoughts?
Nothing I haven't really already said, except I was really kind of surprised that I can reconcile these two concepts. You know, so much of the discussion that I saw in the Babel conference in response to Standard Orbit episode 115 was really kind of making the case for one approach or the other, right? Is this an alternate timeline versus this being an alternate reality? And people had really strong opinions about which one it was. And it was fascinating to see these strong convictions and all the reasoning that goes into justifying those positions coming out in the Babel conference. And I was... frankly surprised that this is such a passionate issue for everyone. And I sort of think of this as kind of a fairly esoteric, speculative kind of abstract discussion, and yet it's something that Star Trek fans seem really, really passionate about, and that bore itself out in the discussion thread that we saw in the Babel conference this week. So, but what I was surprised to learn is that you can really reconcile the two. You know, if we can satisfy ourselves that it's not a choice between alternate reality and alternate timeline, that adds to the sense that the Star Trek universe is more coherent. I think this is something we do with Star Trek fans all the time, right? We want a Star Trek universe that's internally coherent. And other franchises are totally content to ignore their own canon or ignore their own rules. And Star Trek is tries to be internally consistent. And fans like that internal consistency to the Star Trek universe and the franchise as a whole. So anything we can do to unify the different approaches or make the universe seem more coherent and reconcile things that seem to contradict themselves about the Star Trek universe, all that seems like it's in service to this broad brushstroked aspect of the Star Trek universe that fans care about, the fact that it's an internally consistent kind of universe, and the canon of Star Trek has always, the people who've been in charge of it always strive to maintain some consistency and maintain that canon and make sure that they're not breaking their own internal rules. And much more work goes into that in Star Trek than in pretty much any other franchise from what I can tell. And so anything we can do in the service of making the Star Trek canon internally consistent, so much the better. And I think maybe we added to that a little bit today.
Yeah, unfortunately for the crew of the Enterprise, you know, whenever it gets blown up, there's always a Typhon expanse to fix it. Fortunately, they have Data. I'm just sorry to say, and these are really my final thoughts, I just want to say that regardless of the fact of whether it's an alternate reality or an alternate timeline, I'm just sad that in every single one of them, Edith Keeler must die.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
Well, it's funny you say that, because one little extra final thought I have is that, you know, when people talk about multiverses or alternate realities or different possible worlds, the one thing that really matters is the internal logical consistency, right? You don't, for example, get a universe in which there's a square circle, right? That's an internal contradiction. So that's not a possible universe. Sure. Because there's a contradiction. But anything else that's logically possible, right? So, you know, in one of your, you know, like you said, in one of your universe, maybe Captain Kirk is wearing a blue tunic, right? That's a logically possible universe. There's no internal contradiction to it. And that means on this multiverse theory, there is some universe out there, some possible world in which Captain Kirk is wearing a blue tunic instead of his green tunic. So anything that's not an internal contradiction exists in one of these alternate realities. So whether Edith Keeler must die, is it logically necessary that she must die? Or in other words, is there some internal contradiction to the universe if she doesn't die? Or is there some possible universe in which Edith Keeler survives and there's no internal contradiction there?
You're determined to get those captains in blue, aren't you?
Captains in blue all the way. Well, Mike, it's been fun talking about the difference between alternate realities and alternate timelines today, but this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
Geordi is the one that's like, you know what? No, you're wrong. You're wrong about Data.
I'm going to drop a challenge right here, and Data's totally going to step up to the plate, and you're going to get served, Plasky.
And that's how LaForge created Moriarty.
It would be I'm not saying it turned out good, but I mean, he had good intentions.
The Orb.
The Wadi, a fun-loving race from the Gamma Quadrant, arrive at DS9 eager to play a game with Sisko and the crew, one that appears to be a matter of life and death. All right, so are we moving along, Matthew?
Oh, we're moving along.
Is there any redeeming value?
The Ready Room.
He's carrying in the lamb chop sock puppet saying, she stayed at her post.
While Charlie Horse ran.
While Charlie Horse ran.
To the journey!
She has a holographic boyfriend that malfunctions. That can mean only one thing. She knows how he malfunctions.
Well, I hear it's common in a lot of guys his age.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
I haven't seen Mean Girls.
You haven't seen Mean Girls.
I know. Everybody wants me to see Mean Girls.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you have to see Mean Girls. I mean, after Josie and the Pussycats, though.
Oh, how could I forget Josie and the Pussycats?
The 602 Club.
I actually like when they bring in the big container for the brainfish at the beginning.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and it opens mysterious. Up and it's, you know, speaking through the...
And all the minions that have to mop up after it at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
It's like a slug trail.
You can actually see one of the guys while he's talking kind of wandering around mopping up. I was like, what is that guy doing?
Literary Treks.
You're totally right that when Atonement was done, I really did feel like everybody needed a break.
Like a Kit Kat bar?
There wouldn't be challenges and obstacles and things, but I wanted the next sort of series of adventures that they faced for a while to be more infused with the sense of wonder that sort of underpins all of Trek.
Women at Warp.
You can always count on DC Fontana to Vulcan things up, and I for one appreciate her for that.
Get Vulcan with it. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Get Vulcan with it.
Meta Treks.
Don't tell me you haven't wondered what it's like to be Patrick Stewart.
Actually, I've often wondered what it's like to be the Shat.
There's no way to know. It's one of a kind.
He's one of a kind. He's one of a kind.
Melodic Treks.
But it's basically from a motivation of not treating the audience stupid, you know, treating them that they have dreams, they have imagination, they have hope, they have fear, they have all those things, and the music plays on that.
And introducing Saturday Morning Trek, a show about the animated series and all things Trek in the 1970s.
Like, 6 episodes counts as a season? This isn't the British. Okay, this isn't...
This is 2 seasons of Sherlock. Come on.
This isn't Sherlock. Yes, I've been waiting for several years to see more Star Trek, which is like Sherlock. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But From There to Here is also a good podcast you should listen to.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these and other shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us greatly, and it makes it easier for other listeners to find the shows as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, hey, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course, you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well. Another way you can help us keep all our shows coming to you each week is become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks that we have for you there. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and many more. Hey, we really appreciate any support that you can give us. It costs a lot of money to put these podcasts out, and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. And don't forget to check out Enterprise in Space, a project of the nonprofit National Space Society that will design and launch an 8-foot orbiter and return the craft to Earth. The NSS Enterprise Orbiter will carry more than 100 student-designed science experiments into space, and you can help make it happen. Visit enterpriseinspace.org to find out more and to get your seat on the mission.
If you'd like to contact us to give us feedback or suggestions for the show, you can do so in many different ways. One way is to contact us via the contact form on Trek FM's website. Just go to trek.fm/contact.
You can also leave us a voicemail, look at the sidebar on the show page, or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm.
On Twitter, you can reach us under the username @trekfm.
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/trekfm. Also on the Babel Conference, type the Babel Conference, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, or go to our website at trekfm and click discussion on the menu bar. The Babel Conference is a closed group, but if you ask to join, we'll let you right in. You can join in on the discussion.
If you have a spare moment, we also invite you to leave a rating and a review of MetaTrex on iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions for the show, and leaving a rating and review helps other listeners on iTunes find our show.
Zachary, would you like to tell our listeners where they can find you on the interwebs?
You can find me and all the other Trek FM hosts on the Babel Conference user group. Again, just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search bar and you'll find the Babel Conference. But you can also find me on Twitter, and my handle there is just my name. That's Zachary Fruhling, ZACHARYFRUHLING. So Twitter is probably the best place to find me on the interwebs. And Mike, where can they find you on the interwebs these days?
Yeah, you can find me at Facebook through the Babel Conference. I'm also on Twitter. My username is @cmichael1701. Zachary, there's a few people we want to thank before we close the show today. We want to acknowledge C. Brian Jones, founder and publisher of Trek FM, our executive producers, Charlene Smith, Matthew Rushing, and Norman Lau, our art director, Aaron Harvey. Will Nguyen, our content manager, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Dennis Costello, our wonderful editor and producer. So thanks again for listening to Metatrex, a Star Trek philosophy podcast. Until next time, when we will once again boldly go where no philosophers have gone before. I'm just hoping out there in an alternate timeline somewhere, I look good in bicycle shorts.
There's all these things that aren't allowed in philosophy, like square circles, you know, P and not P being true at the same time, right? See, that's not allowed, and bicycle pants should not be allowed. It's just the wind.